This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for Cordishy and Coit. Host Scott Cordishy.
It's time for the airing of the grievances.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
There will be no shortage of beef.
There's no hamburgers at Wendy's right now.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
Hey, where's the beef?
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Nick Coit.
Hello?
Hello?
This is Frank Costanza. You think you can keep us out of Florida?
We're going to be in a pool. We're going to be in a clubhouse. You're all over that shuffleboard court.
The Big Del Boca Vista in the sky.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Pats play a 1 o'clock game. Bucks play at 4:25. Football fans in New England are going to be watching all day.
You're right.
That's all right. Don't worry about what
when
I'm
your
doing.
Friends are Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and they can do neat things for you, it helps
yeah.
Ours. What we do, we're mustache through
and through. Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7
WEEI. I get the wrong. Guess what happens with
your
that?
Host Scott Cordishy and Nick Coit.
I'm wiping my butt with a coffee filter.
I didn't make Cornholio. You must give me your teepee for my fungal.
Stay away from me.
I would love for Nesson to dig up some of those old Bruins games, I'm telling
you.
Now that I'm thinking about no, I'm talking about the ones that with the fights.
Oh, I think there's been a lot that they've dug up.
I told you about the Rangers game
yep.
at Madison Square Garden when the Bruins went into the stands. They should dig that one up. And then there was a game in 1981, Bruins and the old Minnesota North Stars, which are now the Dallas Stars. But the Bruins and Minnesota North Stars combined for 84 penalties. It was a fight fest in 406 minutes of penalty minutes in a game.
Now, I like
fights. They couldn't even drop the puck in between, like, calling, like, penalties and sending guys to the box. But they'd come off with a face-off, and before they even dropped the puck for the next face-off, guys would drop the gloves, and they're going at it again. It was awesome.
I like fights. That might be too many fights.
It was,
I do want to see a little bit of hockey.
It was.
I mean, the last
tremendous.
The last great taste I can think of something like that, and not nearly on the level of the bloodiness that you saw back in the 70s and 80s, but I don't know if you remember in 2011 during the regular season, and this was one of the first signs where I was like, man, this Bruins team is really tough. That was the year they won the Cup, and I think it was a January game. They were at the Garden, and the Dallas Stars came in. And I don't know what was talked about or said during warmups or before the game, but they dropped the puck for the opening faceoff. Boom, fight.
That's it.
Then, boom, they dropped the puck again, another fight. They had 3 fights to start the game. I don't know what they were talking about, who talked about it, what happened to the previous game, but I remember sitting there. I was interning at Boston 25 at the time. I'm like, this is freaking awesome. Because they just, they obviously talked about this before the puck was dropped because it was too set up. Like, I think Chara was in one of the fights. Must have been like Johnny Boychuk, and then I can't remember who it was, but I'm like, this is hockey. This is the Bruins, yeah. Man. This is awesome. So, and that was only a taste of it. I can imagine what it was like back then.
We just watched that Jonathan Bouchard fight where Bouchard was just bloodied by Stan Jonathan. But, you know, Stan Jonathan, Terry O'Reilly, Jonathan Winsink, I mean, they were the big bad Bruins.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's awesome.
It's great to
nobody
look back
wore a helmet
those.
Back in those days for the most part.
Oh, that's great.
It was awesome. Even the official took a shot, and his face was all bloody.
Oof, gosh, yeah. So something that hasn't been brought up today so far, because we spent a lot of time on baseball the first hour here, Scott. You know, I know we've talked a lot about Tom Brady, and we'll talk a little bit more about it with Matt Light coming up later in the show. But I think as time has gone on here, Scott, more and more stories have come out about last season and what the environment was like and, you know, Brady behind the scenes and whatnot. And two things stood out to me this week that made me think, more and more it's piling up on the Brady was kind of a pain in his last season or didn't give the full Brady sort of effort we've come to expect here in the previous 19 seasons when he was in New England. And the two stories that came out were the first was the Josh McDaniels reported rift, which Gary Myers put up on Twitter, and Brady vehemently denied.
He shot it down immediately.
But what is he going to say? He's not going to. He's going to say they have a good relationship. And I think what Gary Myers was hinting at was something that I do think is true. Is it's not like they were at each other's throats, like they hate each other. It's just that they got tired of, they worked together for a long time. It got tired.
The implication was that Josh wasn't calling the plays that Tom wanted.
Yeah, and maybe there's part of that might be true because Tom, as we know, was shutting out the young receivers. And I think what played into that was the second story that came out this week, which was Philip Dorsett talks with the media. He signed with the Seattle Seahawks, so he talks to the media out there. And he says that he had an opportunity to sign with the Seahawks before last season. Mm-hmm. And he said he didn't take it. He resigned in New England. And he said this time around he didn't want to make that mistake again, is what he said. And it sounded very innocent when you watch it. It comes off in a different tone. But the fact that he said it was like, he feels like he made a mistake going back to New England. And he had some moments last season. But he's one of the guys that I point at that if he does something wrong in the field, runs the wrong route, whatever, Brady looks at him and says, I'm done with this guy.
Yeah.
And that's probably part of the rift that he might have had with McDaniels, because Josh McDaniels is saying, well, guess what? We don't have Gronkowski anymore. We don't have all these guys that we used to have. You have to trust guys like Philip Dorsett, Jacoby Myers, N'Keal Harry. This is what we have to work with, Tom. You need to take it. And so I think that was what was part of it. I don't think Tom and Josh hate each other. Like, I think some people took it that way. I don't think that's the case. And I think that's why Brady came out and said what he said. But I do think there was something there, too. The relationship sort of had... It was part of the running of the course between Brady and the Patriots.
So I've said this many times, and this is one thing I loved about Tom Brady early in his career, and it kind of bothered me later in his career. Early in Tom's career, and he would say this, his favorite receiver was the open receiver.
Right.
He didn't care who it was. It was Troy Brown. It was David Patton. It was David Givens. It was Deion Branch. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
His favorite receiver was the open receiver. Later in his career, when the Patriots started to get him better toys, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, then it was all about having eyes for them, forcing the ball into them. I only trust them, and my trust for other guys has gone down considerably. It was no longer my favorite receiver is the open receiver. It's more, yeah, these are my guys. I'm going to them. And it bothered me, you know.
I
think a guy that he didn't give, and I know this guy did some good things in New England, but not nearly as much as I think he probably could have. I don't think he gave Chris Hogan enough of a shot. I liked Hogan.
I think he did his first couple seasons. I think he did. Hogan, I mean, was a big part of the game plan, especially like, you know, they beat the Steelers in that AFC title game, and then they had the comeback in Super Bowl 51. He leaned on Hogan and Mitchell
outside. But was that, well, I'm trying to think, was Amendola hurt? I mean,
Amendola was there.
Okay, I just felt like
They were all good to go. No, Gronkowski was out for those games.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there was a reason he went to Hogan's because he kind of had to, like, because he was missing a weapon or two, so maybe that was it.
No, he was good with Hogan for, I think, the first couple seasons, but he shut him out his last year, and so that's why he probably, you know, took off and whatnot. But I guess that happens after a couple seasons. I don't know, but that one I'm not going to get on him as much for as I will for a guy like Dorsett, who really you could have leaned on last season more. And when you throw the ball in his direction, he had that streak where he caught like 30 straight on 30 targets or something along those lines. And he runs the wrong route once, and Tom's going to come to the sideline and say, I'm done with this guy. That's a horrible attitude to have, and that's why we got on Brady last season.
And I agree with what you just said, and maybe there is that perception. Whether or not it's reality, I think there's something to it, that maybe we didn't get Brady's best last year. And, you know, I got pissed off at him when he got all salty after that win over the Eagles when they went, was it 8-0?
Howdy.
Okay, and I didn't like it. And you know what's really going to piss me off even more is he's super motivated this year to prove the whole world wrong and that he still has plenty of gas left in the tank and that he's better than what he showed last year and that it's more him than Belichick for New England success. So you know he's motivated to go out and give his best, and that's going to piss me off if he goes out there and has a great year this year, because I really do feel like we didn't get 100% of Tom Brady last year. We got something less than that. How much less, I don't know, but I thought he could have been better.
You hate to say it's a knock on him, because this is a guy that brought a lot of joy to our lives with six Super Bowls in his 20 years here and is the greatest quarterback there's ever been. And you know, we obviously are very appreciative of the direction that he steered the franchise, him and Belichick. But it's one of those what have you done for me lately sort of things,
right.
And that's what sticks out is the fact that you didn't get the best effort, which was always something that Patriots fans got behind with Brady, is that he was this ultra motivated competitor, this guy, and so when he's going to the podium and he's pouting in Philadelphia after they just won a game, that's why we were critical of it at the time. And we're critical of it now, because it just didn't come off. Well, you won the game. Why are you being that way? And it was because he's working with young players and whatnot. And that's why there's some people that have been talking about this in Boston, and I feel there's something to it. You know, this season coming up, the Patriots offense could be more efficient on the field with a young quarterback who's willing to go through some of the mistakes and whatnot with young receivers and some of the guys that are starting to learn the offense just like him. I really believe that, because it wasn't efficient this past year. It was inept at times. And it's part of it, I think, was Brady's attitude. I really do. Part of it was that he shut guys out. He was forcing it to Edelman at times. And I don't think you're going to see that with a younger quarterback. I'm not saying that the offense is going to be better without Tom Brady. I think it's going to be maybe more efficient for a team that's going to rely on its secondary and parts of its defense to try to win games.
All right, before we take our next break, let's say hello to Joe in Pawtucket. Good morning, Joe. You're next on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Good morning, Mr. Cordishy. Good morning, Mr. Hoyt. How are you?
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joey.
Good. Have you guys been going to the golf courses? Some of them are reopening.
I have not. I played probably maybe a month and a half ago, met a Comet, and that's the last time I played.
Yeah, my golf course opened up in Mass last Friday. I played with the guys, and I did good. I can't believe how I did. I shot 42.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
wow.
What are your thoughts about the pro sports coming back and when are they starting? And Dan from Cranston's right. There is a golf match on TV tomorrow at 2 p.m. on NBC. It's Rory McIlroy. It's a foursome. So,
great.
And then the Tiger Phil matchup is next week, May 24th. That should be interesting. And I think the nurses and the doctors and the firefighters and the policemen should make more money than pro sports players, like you guys have been talking about how they're overpaid. I think what the nurses and the doctors are taking care of these people, that they should be they're the ones who we should be thankful for.
Of course, Joe. Of course, that's a society thing. That's a whole different, you know, sort of topic. Believe me, and teachers and people that deserve that sort of thing, not guys who get to sit on Twitch and just want to get paid, bro.
Should Cuomo charge and make the people that volunteered to come to New York to help New York City out, have them pay state income tax?
I don't know.
I think that's, you know, you had people out of the goodness of their hearts come to your state to help you out of an absolute crisis, and New York's taxes are very high.
Yeah.
Maybe you ought to make an exception there.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
I don't know. That's, you got a case. Sure.
Anyway.
Sure.
When is sports going to come back? It's a good question, Joe. Don't know. Again, we hear the rumblings. Baseball's targeting a July return. I think what's more intriguing to me is, will the NBA and or NHL come back?
I think the NBA has
got the best
chance.
It seems like both leagues would like to finish the season, whether that means playing a couple of regular season games and jumping right into the postseason or jumping right into the postseason. I don't know, but I think that's very intriguing to think about, especially with the Bruins. Best record in the NHL.
I think you, and even just watching the back and forth between the players and the owners and whatnot in these leagues, to me, that's why it screams to me that the NBA, I think, has the best chance, because I think they're trying to work together and they want to return to play. They want to try to finish the season. And I'd put the NHL there, too. I think the NHL is very much, you know, we know with these, the players are very laid back and they'll sort of go with the flow sort of thing. And if they can get on the ice, great, they'll play. I think that's how hockey guys are. If somebody says, you can lace them up, you can go play, great. We'll get out there. Give us a couple weeks. We'll get out there. We'll get our legs back and we'll play. I think they're of that mindset. The baseball players, they just want their money. They want to get paid. They don't want to get the Rona. I'm sorry, I keep bringing up that quote, but it blows my mind how much of a tool Blake Snell came off of.
Speaking of basketball, the final two episodes of The Last Dance coming up tomorrow night. We're going to talk about that from a local perspective when we come back on Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.